What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure you click the subscribe button, like, comment, let us know what you think about the episode, what your experience has been with your diesel truck. If there's a guest or topic that you want to hear from on the podcast, let us know. We're always checking messages or comments on there and love to hear from you guys, and then do episodes on them and incorporate what you guys want to hear onto an episode. And we appreciate all of you who've subscribed recently. We've had a huge influx of subscribers, so I wanted to thank all of you that have done so. Today is going to be part three of our what is the worst and best diesel trucks to buy. So on part one, we talked about Ford Power Strokes. Part two was GM Duramax. And today we're going to talk about Cummins. Vinny from Leadfoot Diesel Performance is going to be joining us. He's had 15 plus years experience in the industry working in part sales, service, maintenance, repair, tons of different parts of it. And we wanted to get his factual opinion on what are the worst ones to get that are just going to be headaches or cost a lot of money up front, and which ones are pretty smooth to, you know, get into, not a lot of issues with them. So the criteria that we're using to judge what's the worst and the best, it's not which one can make the most horsepower. It's really going to be what are inherent issues that may exist within a model year range. Two is what the aftermarket support is like. So if you do have issues, can you easily find parts? Are there lots of different companies to choose from? And then three is the truck capable of making the horsepower and torque numbers that you would need to be able to tow consistently? Or if you have an active lifestyle, there's always a trailer behind the truck, can the truck be able to make that kind of power, either just stock or with some helps from, you know, programmer and bolt-ons and things like that? So we appreciate his expertise and really look forward to doing this episode. Before we get to it, I want to remind you guys, our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 20% off discount code for you. If you use code DIESEL20 at kershaw.kiausa.com, you get 20% off site-wide. So if you're in the market for a knife, it's a great way to save some money, and they got a ton of choices no matter what your budget is. If you're looking for something for EDC or the outdoors, or you're just a knife enthusiast, they've got a ton of choices, so definitely check them out. All right, let's get to part three with Vinny from Leadfoot Diesel Performance and talking about what is the worst and best diesel truck to buy in the Cummins lineup. Vinny, welcome back to the podcast for part three of the worst and best diesel trucks to buy. So on part one, we talked about Ford Power Strokes, part two, Duramaxes, which one you know, would get, which one you think are the best and the worst through your experience at Leadfoot Diesel. And you know, where I would inject purely my opinion based on sometimes visual appearance of a truck or whatever it might be. But we got a lot of Cummins fans who listen. So this one I have a bit more direct experience with, but not as much as you do. So, I mean, what's your kind of overall opinion of Cummins trucks? And it's hard to kind of say because they span from what, 89 to current, and there's a bunch of different changes and updates and things throughout the years, but you know, what do you think of them,
man? There will forever be a special place in my heart for Cummins. I mean, I've owned a pile of them, a bunch of them. I've had 12 valves, I've had never had a 24 valve. I want one. Kind of another one of those dream trucks. You know, in the last episode I talked about that Eleanor of a LB7 with a ZF6 speed, and if I could find one of those, when I find one of those, I will own it. And I want an 02 silver extended cab long bed single rear wheel on 40s so bad I can't stand it. I love the sound of a VP44 truck. Probably one of the worst injection pumps ever made, other than the K16 that we discussed in the first episode. But I don't care. I mean, I'd spend $2,000 every year for the rest of my life to put a VP44 in that truck if I could find it. And a leather 6-speed manual. I mean, just an absolute dream truck. I love the second gen body style. I like that 24 valve Cummins. It's pretty simple to work on. If I own that truck, I'd probably drop head studs in one at a time on a factory head gasket, compounds, do like the BD diesel monster pump with a set of DDP injectors, fast fuel system and a South Bend clutch, and I'd be set. I mean, that's you know, not to be too specific or anything, but
don't list the part numbers or anything.
SDD 3250-6.
That's the one thing with with kind of the Cummins lifestyle or the brand loyalty, when I think back even to myself, I can't say it's currently this way, but it's always like we had to make a compromise in a way and say, I'm buying this truck for the motor. I know I'm going to have to kind of make a compromise on the interior or, you know, some of the other things, where they've come a long way to where the fifth gens are. But that's one of the things with the Cummins crowd. It's like, who cares if the dash is going to crack? I'll buy another one. Who cares if the door panels rattle? I don't care. Like, I'm buying this for the motor. It's a very loyal, you know, kind of customer base. And you know, there's a lot of passion with it. And I don't have experience with the first gens, second gens, VP44 trucks. I kind of got in later into like the last of the 5.9s and the early 6.7s. And right. It's just a very, I mean, we talked about it on the Duramax episode, from 01 to 10, and you know, depending on the part, they're very similar, or there's a lot of carryover. Well, it's the same thing with the Cummins engines, with, you know, the head studs on the 24 valves, the 6.7s. A lot of the things that could work on a 5.9 will work on a 6.7. You know, there's some things that don't. A little bit of differences, but it's, you know, it's just a really cool kind of segment of diesel. And for anyone who didn't catch the first two episodes, when we're asking this question of what's the best and the worst, we're looking at either inherent problems in the factory design, the factory setup that's going to need to be addressed, the aftermarket support. And then third is, you know, does the power level at stock or near stock compare to how you may use the truck for towing, hauling, payload, things like that. So if we were to take those three things into account, which either 5.9 or 6.7 Cummins would you say is the best one with those three things, is, you know, kind of our criteria for the best truck?
I mean, once again, I'm going to be consistent with you, and I'm going to go off facts. I mean, I've had 12 valves. I've had the common rail 24 valves. I haven't had the VP44 truck, which I made very clear. I've got a lot of experience with them. There was a point in my life where myself and another technician at a diesel shop would race each other to see who could swap a VP44 fastest. And I think my record to swap a VP44 was like 23 minutes or something like that. Obviously had all the tools laid out, everything ready to go. But, one of the worst stories I have to tell customers, you know, they'll ask me, you know, you do a VP44 on a truck, what's the warranty? I mean, Bosch is going to cover it for 12 months. As far as labor, taillights, I hate to be that guy. I hate to say that, but it's a piece of shit pump. I put a VP44 on truck for a customer. Beautiful truck. Red, second gen. Never forget it. I hated that son of a bitch so much. I put a pump on his truck. I successfully test drove it. I came back to the shop. I parked it. And when I say test drive, I didn't drive it around the block. I drove it 25, 30 miles. And came back, cleaned everything up, parked the truck, called the customer, come get your truck, it's done. He left. He made it 50 miles from our shop. Truck dead pedaled. Didn't shut off. It just dead pedaled. Couldn't go over 55 miles an hour. He called me back. Obviously not excited or super stoked about the fact. Get it back to us. We'll take care of it. Towed it back. We covered the tow. Pump was dead. Called the injection shop that we bought it from in Spokane, Washington. Sent us another brand new pump. I put another pump on it. I test drove it again, a little bit further this time. I pulled it back up to the shop and I didn't shut it off. Just, I walked in, had the bay door up still. I walked in to wash my hands. I was sitting at the sink washing my hands and I realized the truck wasn't running anymore. Couldn't hear it running in the parking lot. Went out there, spun on the key for a few seconds, wouldn't start, cracked a few lines open, spun on the key, couldn't get any fuel out of it. Pump took a shit. I put three pumps in that truck in one day.
Wow.
Before it finally left and never came back again. So that makes anybody look bad. Obviously I didn't design the pump. I didn't build the pump. All I did was install it, and you can't kill a VP44 pump by installing it wrong, I don't think. So, you know, it's another one of those memorable things, like the LB7 injector job that I had to do that I absolutely despised. It sucked. It leaves a little special place in your heart of hatred for a VP44 pump. But at the end of the day, I would still own one. You know, it's an easy enough job that you can do it for free. You can make enough money profit-wise off the list price of the VP44 and the labor that the book time that it sells. You can do that job 3 times in a day and still come out positive on the profit side. So it doesn't piss me off nearly as bad as having to warranty out a set of LB7 injectors, but it's still frustrating.
So that would be,
So
as far as the best one, you would pick the 98.5 to 02.
I would have to say, I read an article in I think it was Diesel Power Magazine in like 04, 05. And at that point in time, I didn't even know this. At that point in time, in 03, 05, there were 75 different versions of the 6B Cummins 5.9. And little changes, little bitty things that changed from model to model. But to know that that many changes happened in that period of time was a little mind-boggling to me. But I would say, personal experience, my best experience with a 5.9 Cummins was an 03. I bought the truck brand spanking new from Dave Smith Motors in Kellogg, Idaho. It was a complete bastard of a truck. They could not sell this thing. Like, I was doing a job in Kellogg, Idaho. I lived in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho at the time, about a 45-minute drive. You got to go over one mountain pass to get there. And I would drive by this truck every day, and it was kind of parked up on one of those ramp things on the side of the interstate. And I was just like, it's a good looking truck. I was driving a 0373 at the time, 4-door long bed, gunmetal gray. This was a 4-door short bed, gunmetal gray Dodge. And it caught my eye. It was a good looking truck. It was the first year of the little bubbly headlights, and it was a good looking truck. And I drove by it every day for months, and they could not sell this thing. And so inevitably, I ended up hitting a patch of black ice with my 7.3, and I hit the barrier in the middle of the interstate, totaled the truck, bent the frame. And, you know, I didn't total the truck. I'm sorry. They fixed it. I couldn't keep a transmission in it. After I wrecked the truck, it would blow the transmission up every 2 to 3 weeks. And so the dealership that I bought it from ended up lemon lawing the truck out. And they said, we'll put you into anything on the lot that you want. You know, we'll try to keep your payment the same. And I told them about this Dodge that was sitting down at Dave Smith Motors. I said, if you guys could get that truck on the lot, I would buy that Dodge. And that was kind of hard to say because I was in a little bit of a back and forth at the time with my father-in-law, who was a diehard Cummins guy, had a 9412 out that he bought brand new. And he would always give me shit about my 7.3s, and I'd give him shit about his slow ass 12 valve. And it was just fun banter around the Thanksgiving table. And so it was kind of hard to break down and buy a Dodge at the time because I had this little back and forth with my father-in-law. But I couldn't get it out of my head. It was just a sexy ass truck. And it was a short bed. And I hate short beds, but I was even willing to buy it because they had lifted it. They'd put a Skyjacker 6-inch lift on it with a set of the old bullet hole ultra aluminum wheels with 37s. It was just a sexy ass truck, and I could not get it out of my head. So I ended up, they lemon lawed out my 7.3, and I bought that 03 Dodge. And it literally, the manufacture date on the door sticker was October of 02. So I bought an 03 Dodge in like December or whatever of 02. And, you know, I kind of was like, it was the first like third gen in our little town that we lived in. I said Coeur d'Alene, but I actually lived in Post Falls. And so I was driving this thing around, 6-speed manual, cloth seats, no bells and whistles. It was an SLT with the Bose sound system. So it was kind of a weird bastard of a truck. And I started pouring money into this thing. I was making more money than I knew what to do with at the time. And I got to be really good friends with Brady Williams from Industrial Injection. And he was playing around with some common rail stuff. It was really new. Nobody knew anything about him. Everything on Cummins Forum and Comp D at the time was 12 valve and 24 valve. I got a bad tank of fuel in the middle of the night. I was building a house in Big Sky, Montana, driving back and forth from Post Falls, Idaho to Big Sky, Montana. And I stopped in the middle of the night, got fuel, got back on the highway, and the water and fuel light came on. I pull over, I pull out the owner's manual, brand new truck, figure out where the water and fuel valve is, drain it, tons of water coming out of this thing, it's 20 below zero outside, freezing my balls off. I go 5 miles, almost hit a herd of elk, water and fuel light comes on, I'm just having a bad time, not a good night, pull over, drain it again, get back on the interstate. I'm going over to the mountain pass between Montana and Idaho, and I'm pissed off at this point. The water and fuel light comes on again. I'm like, I'm not pulling over again. I'm done. I'm driving home. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. I'm cold. So I drive the rest of the way home. Say it's 60 miles. Get to the house, shut the truck down. It's got 30,000 miles on it. It's brand new. Go to bed. Get up the next day at like noon. Go out there. Truck won't start. I don't know shit about diesel trucks at this time. I'm a timber framer. I'm building timber frame homes. I'm tinkering with 7.3s in the driveway. This is the first Cummins I've ever owned. So I jump on the old trusty laptop and I start searching for answers, and I end up on Cummins Forum. And somebody recommended calling Industrial Injection. So I called them, told them what the truck was doing. They're like, well, we think you have bad injectors. You know, you got water in the fuel. We think your injectors are probably bad. So I run it back down to Kellogg, Idaho to the dealership. Well, in a perfect Chrysler fashion, they voided my warranty. I did have water in my fuel, so they blacklisted my warranty. So I got a brand new truck with 30,000 miles on it and no warranty. Wonderful experience with Cummins so far. So I take the truck home, pull the injectors out of it, and I send them to Industrial. They're trash. They're full of rust. So I buy a set of, I was an idiot 22, 23-year-old at the time. I think I bought a set of 150 overs. Put them in the truck, go out and test drive it. This thing's black smoking its dick off, which I thought was super cool at the time. End up blowing the turbo up. EGTs are through the roof. I didn't have any way of monitoring that. So I call Brady from Industrial. Hey, I put those injectors in. Now my turbo's toast, pumping oil out the exhaust. And he's like, man, you can't run a stock turbo with 150 overs, you idiot. So he had a 03 or 04 at the time with an automatic in it that he had put a 64 millimeter Borg Warner on, and it was a laggy turd. He hated it. So he's like, I'm going to send you this turbo. Pay me cost on it. Run it. If you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, we'll throw a 62 on. So I had a 6-speed manual. I could spool that thing no problem. Loved it. Made really good power. Obviously had to break down and buy a tuner for it. So I bought an Edge Juice of Attitude. That's when I could see what my EGTs were doing. I was like, holy God, this is horrible. And I was getting really bad injector pop. And so I did a twin CP3 setup. At the time, PPE was the only company that made a twin CP3 setup for it. So I did a twin CP3 setup for it, and I put a fast fuel system on it. And this was early days of fast fuel systems. I mean, this was back when Brad was actively pushing the company on the forums, trying to get his name out there, just left his dad and that whole debacle. And so I got a fast fuel system put on it. And I mean, it just started snowballing quick. So, you know, that's the big problem that people think bigger is always better, and it's not. When it comes to injectors and turbos, these things have to be sized properly. And I was an idiot and I didn't know that. I wasn't an idiot, I was ignorant. And so I started learning very rapidly. My Cummins education started evolving, and I abused the hell out of that poor truck. I mean, I put things in it that shouldn't have been put in it, including my right foot. I was hauling heavy all week long, heavy machinery, timber frame, home packages. And on the weekends, I was sled pulling and drag racing at the drag strip in Spokane. And so my wife at the time had a Lancer Evolution 8. And I told her, I said, as soon as my truck on 37s beats your stupid little rice burner, I'm selling that piece of shit. And we ended up, I did enough to the truck. I ended up running, I think it was 1185 in the quarter mile. And I grenaded an NV 5600 all over the track. I was not welcome back. But I beat her car. And I think she was running like 12 O's pretty consistently, and sold her car. And I had the bug. The diesel bug was deeply rooted in my life at that point. I beat the shit out of that truck for 325,000 miles. And I can accurately say I never repaired that truck. I upgraded the hell out of it. And I broke some stuff being a dumbass, but the truck never left me stranded because the truck was a piece of shit. So if it, you know, Cummins guys out there, that 03 early 04 is a really good engine. I bought a twin to that truck in 05. One of my foremen was driving a Ford Astro van, and you know, we're building $10 million houses. It's kind of embarrassing when you pull up to a $10 million house in a Ford Astro van full of chainsaws. So he was a good guy, good worker. So I went down to the dealership and I bought him a brand new 05 four-door long bed single rear wheel, which I really wanted, but I had my truck and I bastardized it enough to where I didn't trust anybody else driving it. Definitely not an employee. And one of my sex trophies just knocked something over. But that 05 cracked a piston at 30,000 miles. And I think I got hooked up kind of like the GM thing that we were discussing in the last episode.
Yeah.
We were in Portland, Oregon, coming back from a job site in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. And one of my employee called me and he says, you know, he's following me. I'm in my 03. He's in the brand new 05, and he's like, man, it sounds like there's a midget in the block with a jackhammer. I was like, it's a brand new truck. Like, what the hell? I said, man, just let's get home. You know, we got 16-hour drive. Let's just get home. We'll deal with it when we get home. It's still driving. So we get back to Idaho. I take it down to Dave Smith Motors. Truck's under warranty. It's brand new. They pull it in. Oh, you got a cracked piston. Okay, fix it. I'm not even mad. I mean, it's inconvenient, but I'm not mad. It's under warranty. So they put a motor in the truck. I go to pick it up and they hand me a $16,800 bill. Why am I paying for this? Oh, we found water in your fuel and it hung an injector open and cracked a piston. Bullshit. You can't fill your own truck up with diesel fuel in the state of Oregon. I don't know if anybody's aware of that. But apparently human beings in the state of Oregon are too stupid to fill up their own truck. So it's a state law. The gas station attendant has to fill your truck up. I watched the dude fill the truck up. He definitely didn't dump a bottle of water in my fuel. And I don't know how many gas stations are pumping water out of their tanks underground. It was too weird and too convenient for them to not warranty the motor. To this day, I still think I got screwed on that deal. So I started doing a little research on the difference between an 03 and an 05. And that's when I came across that article that said there was 75 different versions of a 6B Cummins from 89 to 05. And I was like, holy shit, that's a lot of changes. Yeah. That's mind boggling. And what I did find is the 05s have a thinner decked piston. So like if you were to cut the piston in half and look at the cross section between an 03 piston and an 05 piston, the 03 piston's stupid thick, where the 05 is very, very thin. And the combustion chamber is completely different. And it started learning a lot of things very rapidly. I was not a diesel mechanic at the time. I was just a business owner with a fleet of diesel trucks. And I'm like, holy cow, which ones are good and which ones are junk? And I did not have good luck with that 05. I mean, we probably... At one point, my wife pulled me aside and she was like, we got to get rid of this truck. Like, it is costing us so much money. We've had to put a motor in it. Shortly after we put a motor in it, the lift pump failed. We had to put a lift pump in it. We put a set of injectors in it when we put the motor in it. And it was just, it was one thing after another. The 05 was the first year that they put that stupid plastic intercooler in, the only year that they put a plastic intercooler in a Cummins. That thing got me a couple of times. I finally put a BD intercooler in it. But it was, it came down to the point by the end of the year, she was just like, we got to get rid of this piece of shit. It's costing us way too much money. And so the employee that was driving it ended up buying it from me. But, and then I had an 0759. That thing, I bought it for the wife, actually, because we had kids and we got kids in car seats. Car seats don't fit well in the back of an 03 to 05. Anybody that out there that owns one knows that. So the 07s came out and they had the mega cab. So I found a silver one that I really kind of had a hard on for. And so I bought that 07 mega cab. That thing dropped a valve seat at 75,000 miles and completely destroyed the engine. Bone stock truck, didn't even have a tuner, nothing on it. I got a wife with two little kids in car seats driving around. She went up a little hill one day and she's like, truck just started making horrible noise and shut off. I was working at a diesel shop at that point. I was at Alligator Performance. We pulled it in, popped the head off of it. It looked like a hand grenade went off inside the block. So didn't have good luck with that one. Ended up, inevitably, I ended up in a 6.7 Cummins. Long story made short, it was a buddy that bought a brand new truck, had some health issues. I ended up taking the payments over and driving the truck. Popped a head gasket at 30-something thousand miles. They covered it under warranty. Popped a head gasket at 52,000 miles. They covered it under warranty. I bought a set of head studs at the time, and they put them in. Popped a third head gasket at like 75,000 miles, and this is when I really was getting super frustrated with the motor and was talking to Brady at Industrial. You know, everybody's like kind of, the 6.7 was brand new. Nobody even knew what a DPF was at the time. We took it off thinking that it was just a catalytic converter that was stopped up. That was back in the day when you could buy those little resistors from some company in Canada, if I remember right. And anyways, it just kept popping head gaskets left and right. So we thought it was because the catalytic converter was clogged up. So we took all that stuff off and put those resistors in to make the truck happy. Popped another head gasket. We're like, what the heck is going on with this thing? Like, why is it blowing head gaskets? It's a bone stock truck. Doesn't even have a programmer on it. The dealership told me I was towing too heavy. Well, shit, that's why I bought a 3500. So I can tow heavy. Like, that's all I've done with all these Dodges that I've owned is tow heavy. Like, I own a company that tows heavy shit. And so that was really frustrating. And so I ended up doing, I got away from the VGT turbo. That was kind of Brady's idea, was that the VGT turbo was too high of drive pressures and what have you. And that made sense. So we got rid of the VGT and I ended up doing a hybrid turbo that Brady came up. It was a S472 compressor housing mated to an S300 turbine housing. Badass turbo. I think he called it the Silver 72 or something back then. This was like 08, 09, early on in the 6.7 days. And they built, that I'm aware of, they built three of those turbos. One of them I sold to a customer that had a snowmobile company, and he loved it. I had one, and then I don't know what happened to the third one. At the end of the day, it was not cost effective to produce that turbo. Brady couldn't sell it at a high enough price point to make the, wasting two turbos to create one didn't make sense anymore. So that kind of fell off the bandwagon, and I started selling the crap out of the Aurora 5000s because it was very similar turbo, spooled up great on the 6.7s. And once I went to that fixed vane turbo, head gaskets stopped failing. I sold that truck back to the guy that originally bought it. He paid for the aftermarket upgrades, sold the truck to some girl that drove it for many, many years after that, and the truck was just very reliable. So I kind of got on the bandwagon of getting away from VGTs on the 6.7s at that point, because I personally firsthand experienced the problems when I ran a VGT turbo, and then the great luck that I had getting away from the VGT turbo. So I've pushed that on customers for years, and it seems to work. The head gasket jobs, the comebacks quit. You know, we were doing head gaskets left and right, and they were coming back, and the customer's pissed off, and they want us to warranty it. I'm like, kind of not our fault. You know, we did the head gaskets right. We put good head studs in it. It's just a shitty engine with a shitty design. And once we started pushing the fixed vane turbos and the coolant bypass from Fleece Performance, that really affected our 6.7 Cummins head gasket comebacks. So I would say from the factory, the worst one I ever had was the 6.7. The best one I ever had was the 0359. Believe it or not, my 12 valve only made it 165,000 miles. Obviously, I had that truck before. I had a very extensive knowledge of diesel trucks. Killer dowel got me. It fell out, popped a hole in my front cover, and I pumped all the oil out going down the interstate and didn't know it. Locked up all the main bearings in that truck. So, you know, they've all kind of got little issues that need to be addressed, but the 03 for sure was the most unproblematic truck that I ever had. My light's dying on here, but yeah, I mean, 6.7's got issues. It is hands down stock platform, one of the worst Cummins engines ever made. We see them constantly in our shop. I mean, right now at this point in time, I think I have 7 head gasket jobs sitting at the shop right now. I've got 4 or 5 engine failures, 18 plus. The hydraulic lifter issue with the 6.7 Cummins is not shaping up to be a very good deal.
You know, what's really interesting about when you were going through stuff there, you're definitely smarter than I was, because you started out in diesel. I didn't. So I was right out of college. I was really into gas trucks. So I lived in Southern California. I drive back home to Colorado. And I noticed, like, at sea level, the truck I had was great. It's a V8, newer truck. It was awesome. I hit Colorado, start to go over the pass, and I'm like, where's the power, man? There's no a whole lot of noise and no power. Right. So, you know, I get home. I'm going to stay out here a couple weeks, visit. My stepdad had an 0273 power stroke. And he said, hey, let's go fishing. So we load up the truck, head back into the mountains. And I'm like, there's no real power loss, you know? And it was kind of the first time I realized, hey, there is something to this diesel fuel turbocharger. I can kind of see it. And then my brother had a VP44 truck at the time, and I remember riding around with him, and I go, this has a lot more, you know, kind of power than that 7.3 does. It's kind of cool. And when you were mentioning seeing that truck at the dealership, it's the same sort of thing. Is I drive by, it's a red quad cab short bed. They lifted it. It was for some promotion or something. At 35 miles on it. I go in there, I look at it. I think of the price it would have cost to get it then is laughable compared to what they are now. It's like,
oh yeah,
40% of the price, maybe 45% of it. And yeah, being ignorant or dumb or whatever, I'm like, no, that's too expensive. But I would pick the same year range, 03, early 04, because of, well, there's a lot of reasons. One is I love that styling. I love the smaller headlights. I love it's something nostalgic about the interior. I know they weren't the most comfortable.
They're horrible.
Yeah. Horrible. But just like, you sit in it and you have like that darker color, deep slate kind of, you know, plastic dash, mm-hmm, and everything. And I think of the aftermarket support, tons of things with turbos, injectors, injection pumps. You have tuning options. The transmission options are nearly endless. There's just so much you could do with them. And I like that. You know, when you had mentioned the different variations of the Cummins engine, is I found out through the podcast and just chatting with people how much of that is emissions driven, because we think emissions didn't exist in pre-07 and a half. They did. Yeah. They did it all the way back to the early 90s. So all these little changes, and especially with the pistons you mentioned on 04 and a half to 07, and different things with the injectors and stuff like that, they're all driven off emissions. And it even, I agree with you with the 6.7 stuff, the first one I ever bought, 08 6.7, it was challenging. And I would say it's the worst one in my opinion. One was because of what you were telling me with the cost of parts. If you need to get a DPF, you need to get the EGR motor, all those sorts of things. And then also, in today's climate, the way that they were, fixed back then, they're not fixed that way now. And I just think that would be, trucks 10 plus years old. Where am I going to get the parts for it? There's not really a whole lot of support. I think once they went to the DEF fluid on the 6.7 Cummins, I think they could, that and some other things, could get the emission systems more reliable than those early third gen, 6.7, or the third gen 6.7s. So, I agree with you 100%. And I think what's so tough to pick like the best Cummins engine, there's a lot of good ones. They have a great reputation. Of course, they have issues like anything else that's out there. I'd say, it's kind of more so the truck. Like, do you want to deal with a 68 RFE, or do you want to deal with having to build your 48 RE when you add 60, 70 horsepower to it?
Right.
But it's cheaper to do it than it is, 68 RFE and the price that they are. So there's a lot of choices that people have.
When a 68 RFE goes down, we've tried everything. I mean, I've tried every company under the sun when it comes to the 68, and I've kind of settled on Randy's transmissions. We're doing, we're doing probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 of their transmissions a month right now. And I'll only sell their stage 2 and up. The 68 is just a piece of shit, and it's a $10,000 ticket. That's hard to swallow for anybody. I'm not made of money. If you told me that my truck needed $10,000 worth of work right now, I'm parking that thing. I just can't. I don't have the physical income to cover an expense. Like, I don't know how these people do it. They come in, they pay these bills, and I'm like, what the heck are you doing that I'm not doing? Like, I can't afford to spend that kind of money to fix my truck. I've been blessed with a couple very reliable trucks, and I blame that on maintenance and service. I take really good care of them, and I do probably service them more than they need to be, but they're older trucks and I'm not made of money. So an extra oil change a year, or a fuel filters a couple thousand miles early, is way cheaper to me than trying to replace a fuel system. Servicing the transmission every 40,000 miles is way cheaper than putting a aftermarket transmission or a built transmission in. So that is a hard pill to swallow. When a 68 blows up, it's a $10,000 bill to do it right. And even to put a stock replacement in is $6,000. So there's not a cheap way out of it. And there's definitely not a cheap, good way out of it.
I think the tough part is, when I think of 03 to 07 common rail, I think, all right, I'm going to run some fuel additive. I'm probably going to have to do a transmission, do some things here and there, and it's going to be pretty much good to go. But the price of them is crazy. I mean, if they have low mileage, you're looking at 40 to 50, maybe a little over $50,000 for something that's relatively stock,
Right.
And it's just, they're expensive.
It's insane. And people, I see it all the time on Facebook, especially. I live on there. That's part of my job, is I'm on 40 different diesel groups on Facebook and try to answer questions and help people as much as I can. But it's once a week you see a second gen pop up on there for $35,000, and you got a bunch of guys on there complaining about the price or telling the guy he's an idiot. He's going to get it. He's going to get $35,000 for that truck, whether you like it or not. Somebody out there wants that truck, and they're going to pay for it.
Yep. Oh, they do.
I think the easiest, definitely for a guy that's looking to get into a Cummins affordably, and make some decent horsepower affordably, the 12 valve's kind of always going to be king. You've got that bone stock truck that you can get into relatively cheap, And for $60 on a Saturday morning and a couple of buddies and YouTube, you can make an extra 60 to 80 horsepower for almost no money. So that's always going to be a thing. And that's always going to be a fact and reality. You can make cheap power with a 12 valve. You're not going to make big power with a 12 valve cheap. You start getting 600, 700, 800 horsepower. You're going to spend some money on compounds and a, you know, a modified P pumps, $3,000. I mean, but for a high school kid that's wanting to get his feet wet in the diesel industry and with a diesel truck, you can get a 12 valve pretty cheap, and you can crank up the horsepower for no money. There's a point where it gets expensive, but
yeah. Now, do you think that 98.5 to 02s are almost a sleeper in kind of this conversation where you've got the mechanical guys who they're, you know, it's 12 valve or nothing. And then you got the common rail guys who, you know, they want the HP tuners. They want the EFI Live on the later ones. And the VP44 trucks kind of get overlooked, but you can have respectable power numbers for a daily driver, something that tows for maybe a little bit less money because they get overlooked.
Yeah, we just did one at the shop for a cattle company, and it's badass little truck. We did a 64. No, we did a 62 over an S475. 100 horse injectors from GDP. I actually left the VP44 alone. I found that, you know, we have a dyno at the shop and we've dynoed every combination you can imagine. And I've actually found if you take an Edge Juice with Attitude and stack it with a Smarty SO3, which does absolutely nothing but modify torque management, as long as we're being honest with people. And that brings up a good point. Any of you 24 valve guys that are out there, I had a kid sitting in my office yesterday that had a Quadzilla on his truck that he just bought, brand new to him truck, had a Quadzilla on it, wanted to make 600 horsepower. So we sat down in my office yesterday and I gave him a recipe for 600 plus horsepower. And he said, I want to take the Quadzilla off and I'm going to put, I won't name the programmer because I don't want to diss anybody, but I want to put this programmer on that plugs into the OBD2 port. And I'm like, look, dude, anything that plugs into the OBD2 port on a 24 valve Cummins is not going to increase horsepower enough to justify the cost of the product. The only reason I would ever sell somebody a Smarty SO3 is to modify torque management, which is just the throttle pedal sensitivity. So the Edge Juice with Attitude or the Quadzilla, whatever programmer ties into the factory injectors and or the factory injection pump and the factory harness, that's where your power is going to be made with a programmer on a 24 valve. The thing that plugs into the OBD2 port is just going to modify throttle sensitivity, which helps. It does help. And so, you know, don't waste a bunch of money on a programmer that plugs into OBD2 because it's not going to do anything for you. The best programmer out there for a 24 valve Cummins is the Juice with Attitude. Quadzilla back in the day was worth talking about. I know they've been bought out and new ownership and new whatever. I haven't dealt with them in 10 plus years. I don't know anything about them now. I don't know if they're good, bad, or indifferent, but the Edge Juice with Attitude's been consistent from 2001 to present. It's the same programmer. It's doing the same thing. It boasts 120 horsepower increase with the hot unlock. So, you know, they're still out there and there's still people wanting to make power with them. I mean, I talked to that kid yesterday. I gave him a pretty hefty ticket. He wants to make 600 plus horsepower. So we talked about compounds and a South Bend clutch and a modified VP pump. But what I have found is overall horsepower numbers, a stock VP44 pump and an automatic truck will make more horsepower than a hot rod pump on the top end. So I don't push people into those hot rod pumps very much. If they want it, I'll sell it to them. I'm not going to talk them out of it, but I'm not going to talk them into it. The biggest thing is give the thing fuel, give it supply fuel, put a fast on it, do a little single turbo 62 works great. You can make 600 horsepower on a 62 millimeter BorgWarner with enough fuel and the right programmer combination. But the downside to the VP44 trucks, there's no custom tuning. So you're kind of stuck with that can tuner. And what it's capable of is really all you can do.
But I think for, probably for that 400 to maybe 500 horse kind of range, you know, tow with it, it probably, you know, fits in perfect. And you know, I was just thinking, you know, we've covered the Ford Powerstroke, covered GM Duramax, we've covered the Cummins, and I appreciate your time, you know, in doing these and sharing, you know, your 15 plus years experience in answering these questions for people. So I wanted to pose kind of like the final answer. It's like the final boss fight, right? Is you can only have one truck, and it can be any brand, any year range. It's except we're not doing like a high horsepower build race truck, but you can only have one. Which do you pick?
That's easy.
Mine's easy too.
Four door, long bed, black, 07 Super Duty, Harley Davidson edition with a ZF 6-speed. Doesn't exist. Does not exist. That would be my. I like the 6.0 power. I like how fast it is. Like, that's the sad thing from being. So, my. Evolution as of a diesel owner, owned 473s, owned five Cummins, ended up in a 6.0, which I talked so much shit about for so many years of my life. And you can ride around. I mean, I rode around every day of my life for 7 years in an 800 horsepower 5.9. First time I ever drove a 6 liter with a tune on it, I was shitting grins all the way to the house. I mean, I could not wipe the giant smile off my face. The way that they make power, how fast they make power, it's a totally different driving experience. Like, for any Cummins guy out there that's shit talking 6.0s, go riding one. I mean, they are just a blast to drive. They're not fast by any means, but it's that roll into the throttle and it like starts sucking your head back. I mean, just a tune intake and exhaust on a 5.9 versus tune intake and exhaust on a 6.0 power stroke, totally different driving experience. Both are fun in their own way. That six cylinder Cummins is just slower to make power versus that snappy, quick power of a V8. And I like shifting gears. So the ZF6 to me is one of the smoothest shifting manual transmissions ever put in a diesel truck. Shifting gears in an MV4500, I mean, it's like first, second, third, and then toss the shifter to the passenger to grab fifth for you. I mean, it's just such a sloppy piece of crap. And my MV4500 that I had in my 9412 valve, I had that thing out 7 or 8 times rebuilding it. It just didn't like taking power versus the NV5600 and my 03. I blew up three of those things on the drag strip and sled pulling. I ended up converting it over to a G56, which I absolutely loved. Everybody talks crap about those things, and I don't think the G56 was ever a bad transmission, but it had that stupid dual mass flywheel, and it just beats the hell out of the transmission when that dual mass flywheel comes apart. If you get a G56 and you put a South Bend clutch in it from the word go, you're never gonna have a problem out of that transmission. It'll last forever. I mean, I've got customers with 1 million miles on their G56s that we've never touched. You know, we just put a clutch in it and that's it. That's the end of it. But yeah, like my dream truck unicorn, never gonna get it, probably won't ever have it, would be a 07 Harley Davidson 4-door long bed single rear row with a ZF 6-speed and a hot ass tune.
Mine would be, I don't know, gosh, well, it'd be the 03 to 05 body style Ram and the sport model. I don't know if ideally I'd like an early 04. So I know I got the 48 RE Planets. I love the painted front bumper, rear bumper. It'd be that dark gray, which I think is like what you had. I would definitely go auto and I'd definitely go short bed. I know I got to buy a transmission, I know I'm going to need one. But there's something nostalgic about it for me where I love it. I love the sound of them. I love the way the interiors look, the body. That would be mine. Other, you know, it's
One
just.
of the coolest trucks I ever had the pleasure of being a part of, you know, and every customer to me is special, but one of the coolest trucks I ever had pleasure being a part of was a 03 SRT 10 with a 5.9 in it. big nasty 12 millimeter CP3 compounds. I mean, just a freaking wicked truck. Slammed to the ground with that SRT10 front bumper. Had the racing stripes over it, black, short bed, just an absolutely sexy truck. And it's just weird to watch something that looks like a 1500 roll coal and blow some 15 inch wide tires off like they're not even there. Yeah. That was a badass truck. And I actually, when I did my mega cab build, after my wife's truck dropped the valve seat and blew up, I actually converted that truck over to 03 headlights with the 03 bumper. And that messed people up. Seeing a mega cab with the bubbly headlights, like, what? I never made that. But that truck was 1,000 horsepower, and it was pretty fun. And I still have that motor, actually. So I need another Cummins project. I need to put it in something. Maybe I'll throw that motor in my OBS. We'll see.
There you go. There you go. Well, it was really cool to chat with you, and you know, I appreciate your time. It's something we get questions. I'm sure you get them probably every week. Somebody will call or stop by the shop, or maybe they have a diesel truck they're looking at, you know, and they get into something else. And it can be so hard to find, like we talked about, where can you find reliable information with factual experience? I don't have any of this. I don't work on trucks. I don't see them come in. I'm not, you know, dealing with a truck owner and the problems that they have. You are. So you see all this stuff that I don't see, and a lot of people, you know, don't see. So I appreciate you talking to us about the big three, sharing your insights, chatting with me a little bit about our dream trucks. Maybe we'll get them, maybe we won't. I kind of think my 03, 04 make more power than yours, but
oh, it definitely will. It definitely will.
It might not be as rare as that Harley Davidson with a ZF6. So
yeah. That's a unicorn for sure. No, man, I love it. And, you know, I look forward to the questions, the comments. You know, it's always fun answering people's questions, and there's no end to them. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I'm still answering questions today that I haven't answered before. And I like that. I like giving people solutions, and truthfully, just being honest with people is very, very simple. You can bullshit somebody all day long, and eventually you're going to get caught. Being honest with somebody is very simple. It's very easy to do. And that's why I like being on this podcast. You know, there's other podcasts that have asked me to come on, and it's always monetized. It's always scripted. It's always, hey, say this, don't say that. And I'm not interested in that. You're not going to see me on those podcasts, because that's not what I'm about.
Well, we appreciate you being on the Diesel Podcast and sharing insights, not just on this three-part series, but our emissions ones. And as fast as things change and as much as going on out there, I'm sure we'll have you back on. But again, really appreciate your time, blocking it off for us and sharing your knowledge with us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here, man.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. If you're in the market for a knife, use code DIESEL20. It's a discount code, gets you 20% off site-wide. It's exclusive to just Diesel Podcast listeners, so it's a great way to save some money, get something if you need it for EDC or the outdoors, or you're just a knife enthusiast and, you know, really into different blade materials, opening mechanisms, different steels, things like that. They've got a ton of choices, and we appreciate them offering that to you guys. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen of 23 Diesel, Caleb, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who are on our Discord, subscribe on YouTube podcast apps. We love hearing from you guys. Love the ideas you give us for episodes. So if you want to hear from a particular company, a guest, a topic covered, just drop us a message on Instagram, Facebook. You can email us at info@thedieselpodcast.com. You can comment on YouTube. I'm always on there checking comments and reading them, and then incorporating what you guys want to hear into a future episode. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.